Hello and welcome to 3 Minutes with Newman. This is Father Juan Velez. The Dream of Gerontius, Introduction. What does man merit if he gains the world but loses his soul? Jesus told his hearers that human life is transitory and imperfect. He urged them to think of judgment in the life to come. Throughout history, preachers, poets, and novelists have delved into Christ's teaching, and especially that which pertains to our final end. What happens when we die? The Dream of Gerontius is John Henry Newman's longest poem, which describes the dying moments of an old man, in Greek, Geron, his coming before God's judgment and his descent to purgatory. The dream will be the subject of a number of blog posts on this website. Some of the themes and explanations will be repeated in the various blogs, since they do so in the text of the poem, and the blogs are written by various contributors. Newman once humbly remarked to a friend that, quote, it was written by accident and it was published by accident, close quote. Yet his personal history proves otherwise. It was the fruit of many years of agonizing study and prayer, leading him to the Roman Catholic Church. It is rightly considered by some a major contribution to Roman Catholic spirituality and doctrine, which continues to inspire the theology and piety of men and women. Newman wrote The Dream in a very short time, in 1865, following the emotional strain of the unjust Achille trial, which was for a false accusation of slander, and after a mistaken premonition of his own death. In this mature poetic work, he uses with great effect various techniques. It is his most ambitious poem, comprised of 900 verses, divided into 7 sections. Like Homer and Virgil, Newman takes us into the realm of life after death. The Dream makes allusions to many facets of theology, creation, soteriology, eschatology, ecclesiology, and spirituality. It touches on themes which Newman addresses in his sermons and essays. What is of particular note is that in this poem, all these elements of theology come together, and Newman deals with them in a way accessible to every reader. As a Roman Catholic, he acknowledged in one of the discourses addressed to mixed congregations in 1849 that purgatory also serves as punishment or payment of debts by those who die without mortal sin but have lived imperfect lives. The soul, quote, on its separation from the body, approaches the judgment seat of its Redeemer. It knows how great a debt of punishment remains upon it, though it has for many years been reconciled to him. It knows that purgatory lies before it and that the best it can reasonably hope for is to be sent there. Close quote. In those first years as a Catholic, he began to understand the important role of the sacraments in a Christian's preparation for death and of the sacrifice of the Mass as atonement for the lives of the faithful departed. Finally, The Dream of Gerontius constitutes Newman's mature reflection on the Catholic doctrine of purgatory as purification of souls who die in a state of grace, a deeper awareness of the communion of saints, and his own understanding of the nature of purgatorial fire. In 1900, the poem was made popular by composer Edward Elgar, who set it to music, creating an oratorio. It was composed for the Birmingham Triennial Music Festival, but only became a musical success the following year in Dusseldorf, where Richard Strauss praised Elgar. The English composer knew the poem well and had a copy since at least 1885. In 1899, he was given as a wedding present the copy annotated by General Gordon, a British major general who died in Khartoum. Elgar obtained permission to use half of the text, but without altering the words. The oratorio was performed in 1903 in cities in the U.S. and in Sydney, and soon afterwards in Vienna and Paris. But in England, the work met with opposition by Anglicans because of its doctrine on purgatory. The performance was banned from cathedrals, and at another festival, the text was expurgated. Newman's Dream of Gerontius represents the calm point of arrival of Newman's faith and spirituality. Even today, it offers us a renewed understanding of personal eschatology that corrects the popular consideration of purgatory as a hell which is not eternal. Purgatory is a spiritual purification of the soul of those that die in the state of grace, and are already assured of their salvation. It is considered a merciful disposition of God, who not only purifies each soul, but transforms it to share in his divine life. Newman's poem masterfully captures many of his mature spiritual and theological conclusions. It continues to serve as a beautiful and consoling spiritual reflection on life after death. At the same time, it highlights some salient elements of dogmatic theology and underscores its organic unity. Reading The Dream of Gerontius and listening to the oratorio is an invitation to consider human mortality, the immortal soul, Jesus Christ as our judge, and the reality of purgatory. It is also a reminder of the gift and friendship of the guardian angel that has been given to each one of us by God, and of the communion of the saints. We have our souls in our hands and stand before our Redeemer who died on the cross for us. Towards the end of the poem, St. John Henry Newman invites us to sing to God with words which have become the well-known hymn, Praise to the Holiest in the Height. The refrain reads thus, Praise to the Holiest in the Height, and in the depth be praise, in all whose words most wonderful, most sure in all his ways.